The Placing You First podcast begins in less than 20 seconds.
Visit crcgroup.com to subscribe, download our award-winning tools and intel articles that help you stay aware of emerging issues and trends, or get a snapshot of the insurance marketplace with our industry-leading Ready Indexes. You'll find it all on crcgroup.com under Tools and Intel.
Hello, everyone. Today, Amanda and I are joined by Vince Pellesi, a senior casualty broker and senior vice president with our Jericho, New York office, and Greg Chisha, an associate casualty broker with CRC Group's Houston, Texas office. They're going to talk with us today about the challenges around insuring security guard firms.
This is the Placing You First podcast from CRC Group.
This podcast features news and insights from a vast knowledge base of over 5,100 associates
who write more than $35 billion in premium annually.
Plus, we give you the latest information on what's happening at CRC.
This is the Placing You First podcast.
And now the hosts of the podcast, Amanda Knight and Scott Gordon.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
You know, I think this is the first time we've ever broached this topic on the podcast. And the companion piece that we wrote to go with this, I'm pretty sure was the first time we've really gone in depth on security guard firms. So for those who maybe haven't dug into that article yet, can one or both of you sort of give us the short version of what the market looks like for security guard firms right now?
I would say in a nutshell that the state of the security guard market is as hard as it's ever been. A number of programs that have historically played in the space have either cut back limits, cut back capacity, or exited the space altogether. We were noticing, it seems like either monthly, weekly, quarterly, there are updates relative to carriers' positions in this space. For example, I just found out earlier this week that a go-to excess market that has been riding lead excess for us in this space is changing their position, likely non-renewing their entire security guard book from a lead excess perspective, and is really not interested in playing in the space in a lead position going forward. So it's those types of changes that just make the what's already a difficult situation that much more difficult. You know, I think that with the birth of a number of different MGAs that have sprung up or popped up over the course of the past, you know, 2 years or so, some of those folks have interest, many of them do not. And so unlike many other classes of business where you've sort of seen this influx of capacity that's come in, unfortunately, that influx of capacity just hasn't really been available to insureds in this space.
Yeah, to add to Greg's commentary, it's kind of, we could go on and on and on about what the marketplace is looking like, but taking a view of the last 20 years, because we've been involved with it in that time period, it was a foregone conclusion that you could get any guard deal done in a program. There was always a program that would fit the mold for the auto, the GL, and the excess. When we were brought in on to the deals, more times than many, we were brought into the excess. So fast forward 20 years, it's almost as if there's a perfect storm. A lot of things have happened in the marketplace that's just caused a lot of these firms to exit out of the space. They've been unprofitable for at least one or two lines of business. It could be casualty, it could be auto, it could be excess, it could be verdicts. It's a real challenge of a marketplace right now. And, you know, luckily for us, you know, we've got some expertise in the class and we're starting to get a lot more opportunities as they're presenting themselves.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that struck me as kind of amazing about the Surfside condo collapse a few years ago was that the security firm ended up on the hook for more than $500 million of the $1 billion settlement. That just blew my mind. Is that a common thing for security firms to be left holding the bag like that?
Not necessarily.
What happened?
So a lot of times what happens with the guard space is, in fact, when they are protecting a property such as this, they're responsible for the safety of the people that are inside of it. I'm not necessarily sure what the allegations were at the end of the day, but I think it may have been a part business decision from the insured and carriers to pay the claim. They felt that it was wording that they provided in their policy, which was the care, custody, control peril. So the property was under their care, custody, and control, so to speak. So there are allegations that they could have warned people to evacuate and didn't. But I think it was a business decision that all of the carriers made to make this settlement happen. Now, if you look at some of the carriers that are offering coverages right now, they are putting building collapse coverages, exclusions on it. So there are a couple of MGUs that have actually put that on it, which I thought was a little heavy-handed, but they don't want to necessarily be on the hook for a building collapse. The insured is a huge insured, a multi-billion-dollar conglomerate, and they had the limits. And as a result of them having the limits, they made the decision to do it, or the carriers made the decision to pay it. So not common practice, but in this particular case, you know, they felt it was within their duty to pay it. So they did. At least that's what I can tell from the article that was provided, that was published.
I mean, I think even if that's a rare occurrence, when I think about security guard firms and the variety of places you now find security guards that maybe we didn't have years ago, the different sort of establishments of all kinds, it seems like the role can vary, you know, pretty widely from from one security guard situation to another. And in my mind, and you guys obviously correct me if I'm wrong, you're the podcast stars today. But it seems like with such a varying sort of role that creates more opportunity for different kinds of liability. Does that make sense?
It does. 100%.
With that in mind, are there some tougher venues or tougher kinds of security guard work, if that makes sense, that are more difficult to insure because of where or what they're doing?
So just like, you know, we just talked about regarding the condo collapse, there's been other unfortunate instances that have transpired in recent years. For example, the Travis Scott concert, the Jason Aldean concert in Las Vegas. So, you know, using those two examples, those firms that are providing services in the form of crowd control or, you know, trying to manage those types of festivals, events, really anything with a high number of patrons who are participating has become much more difficult. Oftentimes these events are being put on by a common promoter or a common entity, if you will, who has some pretty strong language where they push a lot of the liability down to the security guard firm. And so being able to comply with those contracts makes it difficult for especially those that are smaller operators, those that don't necessarily have the war chest behind them to be able to afford a robust policy or one that can necessarily meet all of the contract requirements. And so to be able to meet those requirements or be able to satisfy those requirements, I think that what these agents and insurers are quickly learning is that the number of available markets who are willing to play and willing to write the risk, it comes at a very nice or very high premium, I should say. It's not cheap. And quite frankly, I don't see it. I don't see the market softening anytime soon until I think we can get, you know, as a society and as a country, better controls around this very thing, you know. And I'm certainly not trying to go into the direction of gun control or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that, you know, the more that these instances show their or rear their ugly face, I think it will continue to warrant or justify needing security. As an example, I know that in Texas, you know, we just recently wrote an account where the schools themselves are now starting to hire off-duty officers to patrol the schools themselves. And so it just sort of is really a sign of the times and kind of where we're at, you know, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah. To add to Greg's comment, retail exposure, public exposure that the guards are responsible for is becoming more problematic from coverage standpoint and getting correct limits needed and also coverages needed. And it's at a premium. So what was in a program competitively priced is now coming out of the program. And as a result of that, we're seeing massive increases and or not massive increases, a slight increase. So, but everything's increasing. So it's a bad story that we're telling to these folks. But unfortunately, as a result of the school shootings, the special event issues, retail, hospitality, overall public safety, guard firms are just taking it in the teeth, really. So it's really a problem.
With that in mind, you know, knowing that it's tough no matter how you cut it, maybe just not as tough for some as for others, depending on where and what they're doing, are there things that these firms can do or keep in mind to try to give themselves the best shot at obtaining optimal coverage at the best possible price?
I think right now what's really important is the contracts that they sign, making sure that they're not punitive for them. Sometimes these guys need the work and they'll sign whatever they can get their hands on. So you got to watch that. I think that the labor force out there, sometimes it's a challenge for these guys to staff up. It's really important for them to have a really good vetting process and a screening process so that they are hiring the best they can, and they're going to have to pay for it. So a lot of the hourly charges that these guys are getting now are getting much more. It's much more for these people that they're getting, which is a good thing for a lot of people. More retirees are coming onto the stage. More people that are retiring from the military or police are being employed. So there's a labor pool out there, but you got to be really, really careful, and you got to be really, really, you got to scrutinize a lot.
There's a lot more variables that come into play in this, like, than anyone would imagine. I didn't know that they were like the shepherds of the well-being of the establishment, like in Surfside. That's crazy. And speaking of shepherding, it seems like you could use some shepherding through the marketplace out there. It's pretty daunting right now. How does working with the right wholesaler, like, oh, I don't know, CRC Group, make a difference for agents and clients?
We've been at it. It's such a long time. I'd like to think that we've been building our expertise for the last 20 odd years. I do believe that at the end of the day, most of the companies that we work with know that, and they appreciate that, and they look for us for guidance. We've got Greg, myself, Lyles. We've got a few other folks that really sort of like focus in on this space. And it's really something that you can't dabble in. You really need to understand the nuances of the policy forms. You really need to understand the nuances of the marketplace. And I will tell you that there are carriers that do deals for us that may not necessarily do them for other wholesalers. And the same applies to some other wholesalers that we compete against. So it's really a heavy relationship-driven situation where CRC brings that to the marketplace, where we know the marketplace, we know the coverage forms, we know the pitfalls, and we try to walk these guys through the forest as best we can.
So I think one of the things that Vince pointed out, and I really do want to make sure that we sort of drive this point home, is that I certainly can't speak to our competition or competitors or, you know, how they approach this space. But one thing I will tell you is that within CRC, those that actually do focus in this area or, you know, spend a great deal of time, such as Vince, Lyles, and myself, we collaborate very well and often. So we're constantly idea sharing. We're constantly feeding each other information on, you know, what's new, what to look for, trends, new entrants in the market, those that are exiting the market. So anyway, I'd like to think that when our agents contact us with a deal, they're not just really getting one sort of broker within CRC. They're sort of getting the tribal knowledge of the main players within CRC or those that focus in the space within CRC. So it's the broader knowledge of the organization.
This has been fun. I like this one. This is an interesting topic. And like Amanda said, this is really the first time we've covered it.
Vince and Greg, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. If you're a listener, thanks for joining us too. Providing current insights into the marketplace is just one more way CRC Group is placing you first. We'll see you next time.
Are you ready to take your career to the next level?
Join Team CRC to gain access to best-in-class tools, data, exclusive programs, and more. Send your resume to resumes@crcgroup.com and read testimonials from our recent hires on LinkedIn. Search for CRC.